From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast, is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut shaming podcast.
Yo, you having sex?
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
And I'm your fuck your boyfriend. Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Let's talk about fucking.
Hey, what up, everybody? How you doing? It's Valentine's Day. Well, it's after Valentine's Day you're listening to this, but I hope you had a great day. Welcome to Guys We Effed, because YouTube, we don't want them to take the video down. So we're going to say that. Guys We Hugged. Guys We Hugged is the radio-friendly version.
Yeah, the anti-bad girl shaming.
Don't be
a bad podcast.
Yeah, you bad girl? Don't talk smack.
Wow. Everyone was like going nuts in the comments, like, I can't believe you can't curse. It's like,
It's the first minute.
Yeah, I think you can handle no cursing for 1 minute. I think you'll be okay.
It's hard, though. I get it. Oh, boy. And then RIP Eagles Super Bowl win. It didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
And, you know, I think sports is a great reminder on, like, it's like a low stakes experiment to control your own emotions. You know what I mean? Because we were all at Mike's apartment. Thanks for hosting, Mikey.
Great party, Mike.
Glad you guys could make it.
A lot of fried food. I ate all of it, you know?
Couldn't believe there was room with your huge dong there.
Yeah, your dick was so big, we could barely fit on the couch.
I was surprised.
Got a lot of DMs and comments about your jizz couch. Sorry.
I did too, yeah. By the way, did anybody see any jizz? Oh, and Christina also almost said it.
Did you like that girl? Or were you like, is that your friend? That's your like friend, right?
Well,
not like his friend friend.
There's a complicated history there. But at this point,
I didn't know when I
was sorry that I revealed that you jerk off on your couch while she was sitting on
it. It's all right. It doesn't matter. At this point, we are just friends.
But then if there's anyone who it would have been fine for her to be sitting in your cum, it would actually be her.
That's a good point.
Yes.
So maybe I did you a favor, little Mikey.
Because I said, well, Alfred and Kevin also, I guess, got some cum on them, but I was on the
floor.
There
was no cum on the couch.
Yeah, our dogs left Mike's apartment covered in jizz, and we were like, Mike, you really got to, really got to control yourself.
My dog was singing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, and I said, something changed in that apartment for you.
Towards the end of the game, we're all sitting around, and Christina goes, I'm getting a lot of DMs about your couch and all the cum. And everybody else goes,
I did stop myself
what?
Before I got to the M and cum.
Everybody goes, finish that? Finish that sentence?
And I said, no, I won't, because I remembered I have to edit what I'm saying as I was saying the word.
So funny.
Oopsie poopsie.
This is what happens when you have a professional environment with that lacks professionalism.
Yeah, right. Any professionalism at all.
No HR here, kids. Oopsies.
Damn.
Yeah.
That was so funny, though.
Yeah.
Did that woman say anything to you about...
No, I mean, luckily,
she wanted to do it, that was a nice little, like, you know, silver platter line I just gave her.
No, I don't think there was no mention of it. Once the heat died down, listen, like, I'm big on that as a life philosophy. Let the heat die down.
Right.
You know, if let an issue go away.
Yeah.
People will kind of forget about it.
Yeah, so, don't mention it. Yeah,
don't mention it.
But back to what I was saying about sports and emotions, just real quick, because I know if you're an Eagles fan, it's rough. That was a tough pill to swallow. But after the game was over, I was like, I have to let this go. I mean, why? Because I'm, you know, I read so many books on how to like figure out, you know, how to be on top of your emotions and control them. Cause that's the, you know, one of the big keys to a good life is to kind of, you know, hold your emotions in and deal with them like an adult. It's hard. But yeah, after they lost, I was like, wow, I'm going to go home and on my walk home, I'm not going to be bummed and I have to let it go. And I did. And it's, yeah. So play with it with sports. It's a low stakes environment, like way to, you know, just let shit go. Cause at the end of the day, it doesn't fucking matter.
Has anyone checked those? Philadelphia still intact or has it been burned to the ground?
I don't know. They were flipping cars at 2 p.m. Wait, let me see.
Yeah.
Philly get messed up.
We couldn't figure out if it was going to be better for Philly if the Eagles had won or lost, but there is going to be property damage either way.
Definitely more property damage if they lost. Oops. Okay. Oops, I cannot spell for shit.
Really, I feel like they won something not too, like, you know, during my lifetime, and it was just as bad as seemingly as if, I don't mean, I,
yeah,
I
yeah, they won the they Super Bowl against the Patriots. I and that, was, I mean, 17. But that was such a crazy win. That was, they won that by a Hail Mary. That was the only, the Patriots only lost that whole season. Like, it was so much to that that I feel like, you know.
And the Eagles were kind of an underdog in that
game.
Right. Whereas in this game, a lot of people were saying the Eagles were going to win. So it's more disappointing for Philly, which I love to see because you know how I feel about Philadelphia.
Oh, how do you feel about it? Tell the
crowd. I told you, I don't know if I ever told that story on air here about the one night stand who kicked me out at 7 a.m. in Philly.
And now he has a vengeance against the whole city.
I just have never had good experiences when I have gone there.
But that How many times have you been there, though?
Common denominator, in addition to Philly, is you.
I didn't. Well, yeah, there is that. I mean, like, so I remember the last time I was there, this was also the 7 a.m. This was before the getting kicked out at 7 a.m. Okay. I was walking. We were doing I was with comedians and I was still doing comedy. I was doing a gig there. And we got out of the car and we were like walking around Philly. I was like, you know what, man? I don't like this place. Something weird always happens to me when I'm here.
And then,
like,
with that attitude,
seconds later, a bird just shit on my shoulder.
And I was like, God. L-E-S or a Wawa goose.
Yeah. I mean,
well, that's manifest destiny, motherfucker.
I guess it is. Yeah.
That's really funny, Mike. That is really funny.
It's brutal. And then that night after the show, I hooked up with somebody that I went to high school with. Because I grew up in the part of Jersey that was like right in between Philly and New York. So it could kind of go in different directions. Some people went to New York. Some people went to Philly.
Really?
Yeah.
From Edison?
No, not from Edison. Because I grew up in Edison, but I lived by the beach, basically.
Oh, because I was like, Edison is New York.
Edison's New York. Yeah, yeah. But
yeah, beach towns are divided.
Yeah.
Like Ocean City is Philly.
Right.
So Wildwood is Jersey.
This girl went to high school with me, and I always had this big crush on her. And she came to the show, and we just like had like a good night. We were like a good talk,
good chemistry.
We hooked up, and then 7 a.m. in the morning, she wakes
bad
me up.
Bad time for you.
It was like a Sunday.
She woke up and kicked you out.
Yeah, were you not here when I told the story yesterday at the party?
I don't think so.
She
I
might
remember
have been
that
going to get Kevin.
Yeah. So she wakes me up at 7, and like I guess she was already up, and she was like, I didn't think I was leaving yet. I was like, oh, do you want to get breakfast or do something, whatever? And she goes, no, you know what? Like last night was fun. No regrets. Like it's whatever.
Boy.
But like,
oh, boy.
Yeah, she's like, but you know what? I just want to do yoga with my friends and like whatever. So like, you got to go.
Yeah.
But I was in a city. I don't really know Philly.
Where were you going to stay if you didn't stay at her place?
Nowhere. So that was the other thing. So when we left, I was with the comedians who drove. So I was like,
so you stayed behind to get
so
the
you
pussy.
Gave up your ride.
Yeah. So what I did was
when we
were leaving the show, I said, I'm going to feel this out for the next like hour.
Yeah.
If this is like, if I feel like something's going to happen, like you guys go and I'll take a bus back. And then, like the comedian came up to me afterwards and was like, so what's like,
woman would never do this ever.
It could be the hottest guy I've ever seen. And I would absolutely be like, I'm going home.
But my instinct was right.
I might do that.
Right? I would never do that.
Anything for love.
I figured it was close enough that I knew I could get a bus home if I needed to.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I ended up doing.
The thing is, if it was a city that I wasn't familiar with, I was going to say, if it was Philly, I would do it on
right.
Ship. But like,
it's like Phily
it was,
or Boston or DC. See, I could get home from if I needed to, you know.
Can you imagine staying in Washington, D.C. Just to get pussy. Yeah, if you're a man, yes. That's a sickness.
I mean, could I? I think
pussy
I could.
Really is better than dick, because guys do crazy shit for it that women just don't do for dick.
Yeah, this was somebody that I had been very attracted to for years. You know, this wasn't that far removed from high school.
It was like a buildup.
You know?
That's a little bit different because higher this is like a conquest that you had been thinking of for quite some time.
Well, and yeah, it was somebody that like I was always into, but I never really spent time in Philly, and that's where she went to college and then moved. Like I you know, it just wasn't really going to happen other than this one time, and I was just like I have to at least
stars aligned.
Yeah,
it's also weird that she kicked you out then, because it's like, it's not like a stranger, like she knew you enough. Like I would have literally been like, I'm gonna go to yoga, just lock the door
right.
Done that a million times, like with people I know,
right?
Yeah,
right.
You know?
Yeah, it was weird. And so I had to just roam around. And the other thing was,
I love that she said, no regrets, but
well, she was just
nothing
like,
makes you feel worse than no regrets after you just fucking had sex.
Just kick me in the rib cage.
But so the thing was that there was no bus to New York until like noon.
That's
so,
also weird.
It was very weird. Well, you know, it's Philly's like a second rate city.
Philly's an odd town. Okay, all right. Well, careful now.
But it's also like hilarious because the other option was Kansas City. And I guess you just never been there because one of the worst, no apologies, city I've ever fucking been to.
I have not ever been there. But.
A city that doesn't have a sense of humor, the entire city.
Yeah.
Someone said on my Instagram, come to Kansas City. I said, I don't care if it's Missouri or Kansas City, Kansas. Both thumbs down, not coming.
I'm not coming.
Nope. Move to St. Louis and I'll see you there.
Yeah.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Getting stuff off your chest is incredible. It's so therapeutic. We all carry around different stressors. Some of them are big, some of them are small, a lot of them are very big, but we keep them bottled up and it could start affecting us negatively. And then we act like a jerk to the people we love. And we're like, this is not how I want to be. Therapy has saved my life personally. There are so many benefits of it. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. And it isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. Although if you have experienced major trauma, highly recommend. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designated to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a questionnaire and you get matched with a licensed therapist, and you could switch at any time. Finding a therapist is like dating. They're not all going to work out in the first try. BetterHelp understands that. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/guys to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/guys. Guys, the weather's getting warmer. It's time to say goodbye to your jackets and all your sweaters, and you got to refresh your wardrobe. Well, luckily, I found Quince, and now you have too, because you're listening to this. Now I've got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And if you go to their website, the amount of categories, they have travel, lookbooks, men, women, home, babies, and kids. Their stuff is so cute. So I own a couple items from Quince, and one of them is the Italian leather hand-woven crossbody purse in green, emerald, and I get compliments on it all the time. It's a small purse, which I really love because then I don't put as many things in it. Guys, Quince is amazing. They have very luxury items for very cheap prices. Get warm weather ready, baby, with Quince. Go to quince.com/GWF. for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/GWF to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/GWF.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Okay, well, hey,
If you're a Luminary listener and you're listening to this the day it comes out, first of all, thank you so much. And second of all, you already know you got a very special Valentine's Day bonus episode. If you're not a Luminary subscriber, consider subscribing, and then you get bonus episodes, you know, in addition to your subscription and getting the episodes early. But we wanted to break down, here's what you can expect. These are the dates that you're going to get bonus episodes, okay, for the next couple
months. It's not every Wednesday from now on, but this is a corporate change. This is from corporate. Guys, it's not our
not
decision.
Guys, we fuck corporate, Luminary corporate. Okay,
yeah.
Just so March 1st, March 22nd, April 5th, April 19th, May 3rd, June 7th. Those are going to be the next six bonus episodes after this Valentine's Day. So just wanted to let you know, give you a heads up, so you know what to expect, and you don't got to be like, in the comment section of our Instagram.
Well, yeah, because I think, you know, the corporate mindset was like, we want to surprise people, but you guys are really bad at surprises. And keep that in mind when men don't surprise you.
Yeah.
Dude,
I always think someone's about to surprise me. I'm like, I'm going to walk in and there's just going to be a surprise party, right? And then it never is. And I'm like, tomorrow, you still got tomorrow.
How many surprise parties have you had in your life?
Zero. No one's ever thrown me one.
But that's because also we are like people who plan parties for ourselves. So then people who plan parties never get surprised.
Well, yeah, I ain't planning no more parties for me anymore. So if you want to surprise me, you can.
I planned a party for you last year. It wasn't a surprise.
Yeah.
But
I know, and that made me cry. It was so nice.
Oh, I was like, but you knew you were going.
I know, but it was still really nice because I was really depressed that year.
I couldn't function. It was fun. The food was delish.
The food was great. The belly dancers were great. And it was just a fucking dinner with friends. That was really nice. Thank you for doing that.
You're welcome. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
It's just the small things, you know.
we just start crying. All right,
and our Valentine's Day to all of us.
Yeah, and our next live episode of Guys We Fucked on YouTube exclusive is going to be Wednesday, February 22nd, at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. That hour earlier seemed to work for everyone, so we're going to keep that.
Is that the thing that we need for the?
No.
Okay, can you buy it?
Yeah, I have.
Because you said you were going to get it at B&H.
I have. This is an off-air conversation. But okay. I have a new board that I'm going to bring.
Okay.
And we're going to experiment
with
that.
Hell yeah. Okay. So I'll come early and we'll figure it out. Okay. So yeah, youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U and fucked is where you're going to watch that. And it's also where you're going to watch our special day. It's the year anniversary of our debut comedy special, filmed in Salem, Massachusetts, directed by Corinne Elizabeth Fisher. Watch it, spread the word, tell your friends. Just keep it on the background on mute so we can get to 100,000 views.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it. And then if you want to see us live, shout out to everyone who came out to see me in Austin and Houston this past weekend. Those shows were amazing. I appreciate it so much. Tonight, Friday, February 17th, and tomorrow, February 18th, a Saturday, I am in Toronto, Canada. I am at Comedy Bar, two shows each night. Please buy a ticket I'm sure there's going to be one show that's not sold out. So buy a ticket for that. It's CorinneFisher.com or it's in the Linktree link in my bio on Instagram, which is at Philanthropy Gal, or on Twitter, also Philanthropy Gal. Also TikTok, also Philanthropy Gal. You get it. Toronto, come out. You don't want Texas to make you look bad, do you?
No.
I haven't been to Toronto in so long. And then I realized that it's going to make me feel weird. Last time I was in Toronto was when Carl died. So, for GFL, that's probably, honestly, well, I mean, that and COVID is why I haven't been back.
Right.
Because I have my last memory of being in Toronto is quite traumatic.
Yeah.
But I'm excited. It'll be good. I'll just walk around and I don't know. Get vintage clothes.
They have great vintage clothes.
I always bring an empty duffel when I go to Toronto.
Upcoming tour dates for me, Christina Marie Hutchinson, Vancouver, Canada, House of Comedy, March 16th to the 18th, Dallas, Texas, March 24th to the 26th. Boston, Massachusetts, April 14th and 15th. I'm at Laugh Boston. Edmonton, Canada. Canada, I'm showing you a lot of love. So shout back
Canada.
To me. Yeah, I love Canada. Comic Strip, April 20th to the 22nd. Detroit, House of Comedy, April 28th and the 29th. And thank you to everybody who came out at Winnipeg, minus the kid who turned 25 and did cocaine with his friends at his 10-person party. That's not okay. Don't fucking go to a comedy show and do coke. Okay?
Yeah, that's only for the comics.
Don't do that
on the stage.
The comedians can do cocaine, but the audience members can't, because guess what? You don't shut the fuck up when you're all, oh my God, it's my birthday. And I'm not one of those comedians that makes it funny when there's hecklers. I get very angry because you're talking during my time to talk, and I'm going to dig a hole that I can't get out of, and I'm going to make it uncomfortable for all of us. So guys, just don't come to a comedy show with a bag of cocaine, or if you do, save that bag of cocaine for after. Okay, listen, comedy shows aren't raves. You're supposed to listen. Thank you.
It's weird that the comedy club didn't kick them out for doing cocaine in the club.
Well, it would have been the way it was. That was the sold out show, and the way it was situated, it would have been such to do to get all those motherfuckers. There was it was like 12 guys.
Mm. See, I would have made them leave and then just made everyone silently look at them.
I was considering that, but I was like,
It is fun.
It is. Yeah. Yeah. Also, I have a Patreon. If you want to sign up for it, it's just $5 a month. 3 to 4 times a month, I do group Zoom therapy in quotes because I'm not a licensed therapist. And it's really lovely. I do it mostly on Monday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And then you get brand new episodes of my solo podcast, The Voices in Our Heads, once a month, patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson.
And then Ireland's, hello. Tickets are officially up for my show in Dublin. That is going to be Monday, April 3rd. I know Monday, not the hottest night, but I'm the way my trip is working, that's when I'm going to be in Dublin. So that's when we're doing the show. Monday, April 3rd at Whelan's. Really cool venue. I've heard. I'm excited to do it. That's your one chance. There's no shows added. There's no shows anywhere else. I'm flying all the way to Ireland. So come and see me. Tell a friend. Bring someone. They don't necessarily have to know who I am. It'll be good. I promise I'm quite good at what I do.
Been doing this for a decade. We're good at it.
I can figure it out. Yeah. You know? People always like bring a friend or like a boyfriend who's not familiar with me. Like you have to be familiar with me to like.
You do not.
I'm like, there's lots of comedians where you can just like go to the comedy show.
Yes.
It's fine.
Yeah.
And then they're like, I didn't know what I was walking into, but you were funny. And I go, okay. I mean, I don't know. That's a compliment, but. Yeah,
thanks for the compliment.
Thank you.
Yeah, see, somebody says that. I'm like, thank you so much. It just goes right over my head.
So yeah, Monday, April 3rd. And that's tickets are available definitely at the Linktree link. And I'll get it in my on CorinneFisher.com. Or it's on Ticketmaster Ireland, which I thought was
ooh,
cool. I thought that was exciting.
Fancy.
Or you can get the tickets. And of course, listen to Without a Country, my podcast, Roasting the News and Making It manageable, understandable for everyday people. Every week I read a bunch of New York Times and Washington Post articles, especially Washington Post, holy shit. And I go, no wonder a lot of people don't read the news. This is like, this is a lot. This is a lot to go through. Not only is it exhausting, but that's why, like, less educated people, I really do believe part of the reason they're conservative is because Fox writes the news using smaller words. There's a lot of like elite
and they use like they rev people up in a way that's unique.
Yeah, so you want to scare people and you want to use smaller words. It is so academic the way the New York Times and especially the Washington Post, which actually is my favorite newspaper, but I mean, sit down, grab a knife and a fork, because you're gonna have to really dig into this to understand what the fuck they're saying.
Yeah,
it's not great.
The news is so. I stopped watching it.
There needs to be a progressive or liberal Fox News where they just really break it down using small words. I truly think this would help the Democratic Party as a whole.
Yeah.
You can't just
hot
have
chicks.
Educated people. Yeah. Yeah. Hotter chicks.
What about hot dudes?
Hot, yeah, yeah.
Give
hot
me a hot guy
too.
Reading me the news. Are there in hot simple guys, words?
I think Biden's hot.
That's not what I thought you were gonna say.
But for his age.
He's a zaddy, you think?
He's a hot fucking 80-year-old whatever dude.
Yeah. This guy's smooth.
If I was married
smooth
to talker. Someone and he was almost dead and he looked like that, I would be like, good for me. Great run.
Yeah. Yeah, we had a good one.
Great,
we had a good
great walk.
Yeah. Great wheeling.
Everyone gets so like weirded out when I say that. I'm like, well, I'm like,
what, that you think Biden's hot?
Well, because I mean, like, everyone ages.
Also,
so you have to be like hot at whatever age that you're at. And I think he's super hot.
Yeah.
For an old guy.
He's got some swag.
Well, I'm looking at young Joe Biden right now.
Oh, young Joe Biden.
Young Joe Biden's pretty hunky.
Yeah.
And sometimes also, like, if you...
I love the word hunky.
You know what it is, though?
You can age better.
He started losing his hair kind of young, I feel like.
Yeah.
But what... I don't think of him as a bald guy, though. We would never elect a bald man.
No, never.
There's just...
bald man.
Thinning.
Jew.
Thinning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's almost dead, so I would...
Or bald Jew.
I would think that it was thinning by now.
Yeah, it should be.
What is he... Yeah, he's 80 years old from Scranton, PA.
But are
yeah,
there, he is. So I guess the better question is, like, because Fox definitely has a model that they put on television.
Blonde? It's like, yeah, like hot chicks. Yeah, they have like, hot women.
But do you think, Christina, I mean, I don't know if you've seen it enough through your parents. Are there hot guys on Fox News?
No.
So it's hot chicks, but not hot guys.
Right. But what with the way, I mean, I can only speak to, you know, what I know about how my parents have truly been, I think radicalized is the right word. And what really does it is not the hot ladies, but it's the language that they use. The
fear tactics.
It's exactly. Yeah. So fear is more contagious than COVID. It's more contagious than herpes. Fear is fucking insanely contagious. And when you grow up your whole life kind of being used to like, there's always something wrong. There's always something to complain about. You're kind of addicted to your own fear centers in your mind. And so like Tucker Carlson, the way he speaks is addictive
yeah, it's
in a
alarming.
Way. And you look at like other leaders and I'm not comparing Tucker Carlson to Hitler, but one of the things with Hitler is I watched a Hitler documentary recently and the way he spoke, it made everybody like electrified, right? But then a piece of the information that I didn't realize about World War I and World War II is that Germany had such an embarrassing loss in World War I. So that also contributed to the way Hitler spoke. They were so desperate for a solution. And I think with Fox News, you have all these people that are.
That segment, sorry, was like, tell us you have a boyfriend without telling us you have a boyfriend.
I've been watching
documentaries. No straight woman has ever fucking said that in the history of life. I was like, we get it, Christina. You're not single.
I don't mean to brag, but I have a boyfriend, so I'm better than you. And he loves World War I and World War II.
Funny.
Never even crossed my mind to sit at home and watch a war documentary. But every time I have a boyfriend, literally within the first 3 weeks of war documentary somehow enters the chat.
You know, I thought it was just him that he was like, oh, he's such nerdy into wars.
No.
It's just guys.
That's a guy thing.
Guys
for
love
sure.
wars.
You were just talking about like the gap between World War I and World War II in Germany. I was like, I know all this. I learned this 10 years ago my own.
Well, it was weird. I thought it was a special quality, but it's just every guy.
It's just a guy.
Now, you know what? My last boyfriend didn't give a fuck about that shit.
Yeah, interesting.
Well, his war was with himself.
Uh-oh. Can you write down the timestamp? I'm clipping that up. That's fucking hilarious.
She's emailing it to him.
No, I don't want to get sued again.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
But yeah, so with the Fox thing, I think, because I'm really fascinated, you know, working on myself. And, you know, I don't know if you've heard the podcast the last fucking 10 years. But one of the things that I'm interested in or like curious about is like when people captivate a crowd, how? Like, what is the language? And how, you know, obviously the language probably relates to the time period that they're in. But with Fox News, man, Tucker Carlson, that dipshit, he knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And Rush Limbaugh, my
Rush
dad listens to that. Rush cries.
Yeah.
He uses his emotions. I mean, I listen to it and I hear,
Rush Limbaugh cries on air?
Yes. So when he speaks, like my dad would listen to him a lot. And I'm like, this guy is using that same kind of tactic of like really getting people's emotions. And I'm like, oh, that's what's happening.
Glenn Beck used to do that too. Glenn Beck used to cry on the air all the time.
That was the other. Yes. Yeah. And my dad listens to both of them. And I've listened to both of them before. And I'm like, wow, they're really emotional. Mm-hmm. So
they make you think that something really is like the country's like lost. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Well, I get it. I don't know about these dudes, but I'm on record as like, I like Ann Coulter, not what like she stands for or says necessarily, but like the way that she is. I mean,
the way
like,
she interacts with human beings.
Oh, you're a powerful lady.
Yeah. It's mm-hmm. memorable. Like it. She's charming. She remembers your name. You're like, fuck, I want to be your friend.
She has there's the way she carries herself on television.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
She kind of also doesn't really get she can get agitated, but a lot of times like really good at like maintaining her composure and like kind of like lighting a match and throwing it into like gasoline and then watching it burn. Like I do appreciate the way she does that.
Yeah.
You know, and also I also heard like half of these Fox News pundits don't really feel the way that they are on air. I mean, that actually upsets me more than if they just had a crazy view that they backed on air.
Exactly. Because I would in a way partly respect that.
Me too.
You're sticking to your guns and you're really standing in your truth.
Yeah. But being disingenuous for money, that's like icky.
Yeah, it's gross. That's Alex Jones.
It's a character. Yeah, right. Don't take it away from me.
Yeah.
Who does a character that actually affects real people's lives? That's not a good character. That's crazy.
He should have
in
taken
a
couple
way.
More classes at UCB. That's what he should have done.
He should have been like, zip.
Yeah.
Zap. InfoWars edition. Oh my God.
Pedophile ring. Hillary Clinton's emails. Donald Trump's. Dick.
Oh my God, I forgot this one.
Yes. Zip, zap, zap. Fucking love zip, zap, zap.
Oh my Lord. Oh boy, boy.
I stumbled across this interesting article, the New York Times. And I'm just going to read the caption of the post and then some of the quotes, but it's some food for thought. Sleeping in separate bedrooms is more common in relationships than one might think. 1 in 5 couples sleep apart, and almost 2/3 of those couples do so every night. According to a January survey of 2,200 Americans conducted by the International Housewares Association for the New York Times. I was like, oh, is this a bed company that's just trying to sell more beds?
Sponsored by Casper.
Exactly. Yeah. Interior designers have reconfigured homes to transform separate bedrooms into adjoining ones, an arrangement that is increasingly popular among such couples. They want the secondary room to feel as thoughtfully decorated as the primary one, designers say, which is honestly like one of the benefits, one of the many benefits, but one of the big ones on my list, perks to like living together but having separate rooms. You don't got to worry about asking the guy how to decorate it. You just do your own thing. But I love interior
design. I don't think most women even consider that anyway, though, do they?
What?
Do you ask a boyfriend, like, what do you want to do in this room?
Well, if we
you
had
one
bad relationship, Mike,
and
she
sucked.
Scene for the rest of your
she
fucking
didn't
life.
Give you any, you know, leeway with the decorating. No, if I'm sharing a space with a guy, and if he, like, I want the guy to have a creative, you know, expression via if he so chooses.
I want him to make that one corner just the best corner that I've ever been
in the closet.
The one corner.
This closet's yours.
Perhaps these couples have found the secret to domestic bliss, a room of one's own. Everyone gets a better night's sleep, undisturbed by a partner's incessant snoring, penchant for blanket stealing, or devotion to late night TikTok scrolling. I swear to God, if we're in the same bed and you're scrolling on TikTok and keeping me up, we're done. But
someone would scroll with the sound on?
It's never happened to me because not in my house.
I've scrolled next to someone, but I put the light the lowest and then I turn the sound off.
That's considerate. But sex therapists and marriage counselors have their doubts. Take away the guaranteed together time, not to mention the easy opportunity for sex at the end of each day, and lovers could morph into glorified roommates. And then there's just some people, some quotes of people. This one couple, they're married for 40 years. They've slept in the same bedroom for half that time. And one of them is quoted to say, "You have to be practical with marriage if you want to stay married." There are definitely times when we do sleep together for emotional support. Okay, that sounds like they're friends. It's kind of like hosting each other within our room. It adds a spark to our relationship. You're no longer trying to figure out ways to break away from your family and get your alone time. It's so funny because everybody with like a family and kids is like, save me. And then everybody who doesn't have that is like, not everybody, but
lot of people.
Yeah, because I'm like, I understand, I guess, like, if just for convenience, you would want to be under the same roof. But if, like, you're sleeping in separate beds, to me, I'm just like, just have houses. Your own place. But I guess that's also, like, you would have to have the financial means to have your own house.
That was a thought that I even had about this whole scenario. Like, I don't think that everybody has
an extra bedroom.
For sure. Right.
Well, I got a king-size bed for my new apartment because I
saw to the best time of your life.
I fucking
king size bed.
Game changer.
It's great.
Yeah. Two people
in a king size bed. It's our own little island.
Oh, yeah. It's the best.
It's amazing. Yeah. The difference between a queen and a king.
I've never had a queen. Huge. I went directly from full to king, but King.
And then when I'm by myself, I'm starfishing, and then Kevin will sleep in the bed, and I can't even feel him because he's not up against me because the bed's so big.
So nice. Out there.
I mean, a king size bed. Yeah, I was very excited, and it's delivering. It's delivering.
Well, it's going to be great. I'm going to need all the room when I adopt 4 pit bulls. You know?
Ooh.
Happy Valentine's Day to me.
How are you doing, girl?
I'm great, but I do need to talk about my toe, guys, all right? This has been a problem for 10 years, and I didn't know if I wanted to bring it up. This is
your fucked up toe?
Probably, yes. It's probably the most vulnerable conversation I'm ever going to have on this podcast.
Thank
but guys,
you for gracing us with your vulnerability.
It was actually... probably over 10 years ago, because I remember it happened right before my first ever date with Frank. This is when the toe incident initially happened.
There was an incident.
Yeah. I slammed a metal door. My old apartment in Murray Hill had a metal door, and I slammed it against my toe. And my toenail fell off. Yeah, I remember it got bruised.
Oh, that toe.
Then I got a pedicure to fix it before I went on the date with Frank. And then I remember being in bed one day. I think we were having sex. And I remember vividly the moment of having sex, but then also feeling my toenail fall off in the sheets at the same time. And
it's got a chill down my spine.
Thank you. Thank you. And I just needed to spread awareness for women who have lost their toenails.
You don't ever give it back?
Well, it should grow back, between 6 months to a year. A toenail does take a long time to grow back, much longer than other nails or hair or anything. Oof. But it never grew back normally. And so it's been this problem of it'll grow, it'll bruise, it'll get infected. I've gone to podiatrists. I've ordered special keratine patches. I've done all the medical pedicure, all the things. I've looked into paying for if there was a thing where you could have a surgery to get a synthetic toenail implanted.
Right. Yeah, you can't.
I've done. No, that's not a real thing yet. There's been chatter about it.
We can get our titties done. We can get our pussies cut up. We can get our nose done. But you can't get a goddamn toenail put in.
Been on the moon.
Because there's not a huge. It's really mostly synthetic. Because you can actually get all your toenails removed. There was a girl who got it done, but that's weird.
Yeah.
What? And it's annoying because I actually do. Besides the huge bunion on my right foot, which is why that foot is just all jacked up. But, my feet are pretty nice and they're small.
Yeah, they're nice and tiny.
And all the toes are in order, And so this is a real.
Except that one.
Well, no, it's in order. It's just,
there's
order, I mean in height order.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice.
But yeah, no, not in order, organized, town meeting, the big toe on the right foot's I'm not coming.
Town
sorry.
Meeting.
Yeah. And so. And then I was getting a pedicure end of last week, and I was just on my phone or whatever doing some business, and then I felt the woman's energy at the pedicure change, and I looked down, and she's just holding half of my toenail that just fell off yet again,
because
it was part one was growing and then part two was growing, and when she removed the gel on my nails, because that's more of an abrasive process.
Yes, it is.
The top fell off, and it had bruised again. We were at another bruising period, because sometimes I'll get it to white, sometimes I'll get it,
Wow.
The amount of time and energy I've put into this singular toenail,
Jesus.
Guys. And this is, if this is a metaphor for female living, I don't know what is. And then now the bottom leg grew in a fucking triangle, but it's so rigid.
So it's battle of the new nail.
And it hurts. And then we're trying to clean it. I mean, it is... It's not.
I never knew that you terrible. Struggled with this.
Thank you Corinne. So much. I've kept it to myself, and I just couldn't sit in silence
any longer. You do suffer in silence, and that's not okay.
I couldn't suffer in silence any longer about my toenail. And as I was showering last night and looking down at it, just a drowning, ugly toe in the ocean of my bathtub, I said, I need to speak up for once about this. So I'm sorry to anyone else who is undergoing such a challenge. And also, I wanted to specifically reach out. Please just don't start DMing me with like things that you've done for your toes specifically, unless it's like really, because you guys give me a lot of things that I like already have tried all these things. I'm talking about like, are you a podiatrist? Right.
A medical professional.
I will get a surgery.
There's some medical professionals.
I will
listening.
Pay. I mean, I would go up to like 10K to fix this. This has been a decade of my life.
Yeah, because you do have really good feet.
And I have such nice shoes, and I can't wear any of my open-toed shoes anymore. I mean, I think I could do what I have done, which is like you get one fake nail and glue it on. But like I can't keep doing that because then it's damaging the actual nail.
So you'd have to do like a Band-Aid and just say it's a one-time thing. It's a Band-Aid over my toe.
No, for sure. But like I couldn't do that for like a red carpet or something. Right, but like I need this toe needs to be fixed.
Let's
guys.
Say you fuckers.
So like anyone, if you're a podiatrist or no podiatrist who would specialize this in New York or LA, I would also fly to LA. Anywhere else is, I mean, if I'm there. I'm guessing one of the that we can find a specialist in New York or LA or Toronto if you're the, if it's today. I need to know what to do because I've done the medical pedicures that I've gone to a podiatrist. He's held it in my like no one's giving me. There has to be science to
There's
fix this.
Gotta be something.
If this happened to Kim Kardashian, it would be fixed already.
Kim would have a new toe
tomorrow.
So who
is she going to?
Yeah. Right.
Okay. I have insurance, and I also have because I would argue it's medical because it looks.
Yeah.
It's not. It's something's wrong.
Okay.
That it's like bruising and it is causing me physical pain.
Yeah.
So
it's definitely medical.
I would argue to the insurance that it's medical. Just please,
someone help.
Oh, it's, yeah, that's
please,
bad.
Someone. Sorry about last night's show at gmail.com. You can see, I mean, but I'm probably going to see it more. This is like of the utmost.
I'll cut this up for a clip.
This
for
has
us.
Literally been, this has literally been like 10 years of my life. And the toenails just should have grown back by now, guys.
Yes, yeah, correct.
I would say if it hasn't in 10 years, maybe it won't.
Well, it keeps growing back, but then like it's just like, some I don't know. Yeah, I'm like doing more keratin. Like they came out with these new patches that you like sleep with for like 6 to 8 hours a night. I'm like, so I'm trying those, but like this needs to be resolved.
Yeah,
this needs to be resolved. I can't,
yeah, girl.
I can't sit on it any longer because there was several years where I was able to just cover it up with pedicures, but now I think the nails just undergone too much damage. So I don't know what to do.
You do
now.
Have really great shoes that are open toe. All right.
Devastating, come on, guys.
Let's be the hero we need, please.
Devastating.
Yeah. That is devastating. I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Thank you so much, guys, for the support.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
But the good news is the New York Times, they like to put this out. I think every Valentine's Day just to fuck with people. Apparently there are these 36 questions that lead to love. It says in Mandy Len Catron's Modern Love essay, to fall in love with anyone, do this. She refers to a study by the psychologist Arthur Aaron and others that explores whether intimacy between two strangers can be accelerated by having them ask each other a specific series of personal questions. The 36 questions in the study are broken up into three sets, with each set intended to be more probing than the previous one. Mm. The idea is that mutual vulnerability fosters closeness. To quote the study's authors, one key pattern associated with the development of a close relationship among peers is sustained, escalating, reciprocal, personal self-disclosure.
Say that 10 times fast.
Like saying that you have a really fucked up toe.
Yeah.
So we all just became closer here.
Yes, we did.
We did.
Guys, we fucked together.
It's really, I've been just like sitting kind of in shame. I don't really like to hide anything about myself, but that toe was, I mean, it was really flaring my OCD. Mm-hmm. Allowing oneself to be vulnerable with another person can be exceedingly difficult. So this exercise forces the issue. The final task Ms. Catron and her friend try, staring into each other's eyes for 4 minutes, is less well documented. I've done that in like acting class, with the suggested duration ranging from 2 minutes to 4. But Ms. Catron was unequivocal in her recommendation. 2 minutes is just enough to be terrified, she told me. 4 really goes somewhere. And then they go into set 1, set 2, you know, set 3 of questions. And
you know, the way that we're like so glued to our phones, especially like the idea of looking into somebody's eyes for 4 minutes.
That's a lot.
I don't think anybody on the planet does that.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Except if you're an eye doctor, but 4 minutes is a long time.
Yeah, and you wouldn't be like sick, and you'd probably be looking at it through
a
machine.
Little,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've done it for acting exercises, never for fucking 4 minutes.
That's wild. Yeah, I saw that play, that immersive show, And Then She Fell, which is unfortunately no longer playing.
So
but one of the things that I was really taken aback by is the eye contact that the actors make with you.
Oh,
and
really?
I was really moved by that, and it made me go, we don't look each other in the eyes.
It is
for
scary
more
when
than
someone
10 seconds.
Does that. Yeah. Well, it's also
why
like
is it so scary. It is scary. You're right.
It's
if you do it with
sure.
do it with a hot person though walking by and you can have them hold, I mean it's like electrifying.
Yo, yeah, when you walk eyes with a hottie on the street, it's so fun. Yeah.
I liked eyes with a guy in the Wendy's the Wendy's line when I was in high school, and I still think about him from time to time. I go, I think that was it.
I liked eyes with that hot guy, the porn at the waiting in the red line with
which guy though?
Oh, the hottest hot guy I've ever
seen.
There
were so many hot guys.
The first hot guy that I was like,
the Italian guy?
I need to stop staring at him.
Yeah.
His girlfriend's. That I couldn't tell if he had a girlfriend, if he was there with a date. And then if
they were
hot. He was, but like, I don't think they were together, but doesn't matter. But
who
still.
Knows? Whew. Yeah. So set number one, so the first question starts with, given the choice of anyone in the world, whom would you want as a dinner guest? So that's a very like general kind of question.
Alive?
I think you can probably, I would say you could do living or dead.
I mean, my answer is Beyonce. But that's not going to. That's not going to make me more vulnerable to a date, I don't think.
I think living or dead, I would go with Harry Houdini, actually.
Sinatra, probably.
That's nice.
Very you.
I think so.
Not Randy, huh?
No, I mean, Randy would be in the mix. Mel Brooks obviously came to mind, but at
you're
this point.
You're 87.
Yeah. When I tell women that I'm like Mel Brooks is my favorite comedian, they think I'm talking about Mel Gibson. And they're like, I didn't even know
that's
he did
what happens
comedy.
When you date 20-year-olds.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
No, they're not even. The last person I told that to was in her 30s, and she was just like, she didn't understand.
Are you sure that's just not yet? That's just like a name. Like,
yeah, it's a heady kind of.
But I think it's just more, it's. More,
well, you go, no, the one who
to,
doesn't hate Jews.
Yeah, I do.
Right.
I say that. I was like, oh, this is the wrong Mel. But
the one who is the Jew.
It's just like he's not enough of a front-facing person, I think, for like for people anymore.
Sorry for your pain.
It just sucks. So I have to say somebody.
Suck.
So it's like, and Randy's the same way. If I said Randy Newman, people would be like, who?
Yours would be Harry Houdini?
Harry Houdini, I think, is my number one, but also in like the mix would be like Amelia Earhart, Anne Frank.
Oh, Anne Frank.
I really want a historical one probably because like Victoria Beckham, obviously, or Andy Warhol would be really cool. Mm-hmm. Victoria Beckham, I love, 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 but like out of all the people in the world, I would want someone like who just knew a little more than I knew.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right, Houdini would be a good one.
I just think, because I love talking about magic specifically. Yeah. It's one of the topics that fascinates me most. And also, Harry Houdini was like a really good person. So
that's nice. That's a nice little extra layer.
Yeah, I think he would be an enjoyable dinner guest.
What other questions are there?
So that's from set one. And then, like, let's see what set two starts with. If a crystal ball could tell you the truth about yourself, your life, the future, or anything else, what would you want to know? So I guess, like, one thing, what would you want to know?
I
would just want to know if I have a soulmate, not anything about them, just like, should I continue looking? Or because I feel like just knowing the answer, like whether or not they exist,
yeah,
would be helpful just in how I arrange my time and energy.
Yeah.
But and either way I could deal with it, I would like to know.
I guess I would want to know if I would ever end up being able to develop the powers where you can talk to dead people, because again, like you, I would stop trying if I knew that I couldn't.
So I got news for you.
Because boy, do I try. No, bullshit.
I'm kidding.
I've taken classes.
Does it? So I guess it doesn't have to be romantic then, right?
No, certainly
just
not.
Getting to know you.
Oh my God.
You could say I want to know when I'm going to die. I would definitely not want to die.
I would not want to know.
I would not want to know that.
Are you guys scared of death?
Yes.
I am not.
100%.
Dude, I am
so not
afraid.
I'm not anymore.
I'm horrified and terrified.
Really?
Yes. Are you kidding?
I'm not scared
there's
of it anymore.
There's nothing to be scared of. It's a
homecoming. Sure there is.
No. But I would want to, no, I would be not. Irritated if I died soon because
Same.
Of all the work I put in.
Yes.
I feel that too.
I'd be like,
there's
so
much more to do.
Are you fucking kidding me right now?
Yeah.
I would be so pissed.
Man, I think I,
what would you want to know?
I don't know. I really don't.
It's a good question.
That is a good question.
It's a really good question.
And it is
revealing about a person. I can see how this sparks intimacy because it kind of reveals things that are indirect about a person.
Yeah. I mean,
oh.
I think I would actually, I've been thinking about this a lot lately. I would like to know, past is part of this, right? You could talk about past.
I think it's a crystal ball. I mean, so normally crystal ball is future, but I guess it's like, if it's like a truth from your past that you don't know the answer to.
Yeah.
I am curious to know if any woman has actually, other than my mother, what?
Nothing.
We were just discussing amongst ourselves.
We were just guessing.
Yeah.
I would be curious to know if I was ever romantically involved with a woman who actually loved me.
That's
what we guess.
Saddest thing I've ever heard in my life, Mike. And I know how this works. The series of questions works.
This. Yes, vulnerable shit.
I'm not convinced that I have been.
That you've been in love or that they've loved you?
I've been in love. I don't know that anybody romantically has loved me.
But okay,
I'll one
up you on this because there is in doing this show, I do feel like there's something where
there's
like,
other reasons we enter relationships for sure.
Yeah, mm. I've had the same thought, not like about like that anyone has that people haven't loved me, but that if I had been someone else who gave them similar things, if it was just, it could have been just interchangeable. And I do believe that it could have been. So that makes it feel that it wasn't like the love wasn't specific to me, which to me is the same as not being loved at all.
Okay.
Are we
wow.
in love?
You guys getting dark.
Are we in love?
Shit.
Are
you
and
guys?
I in love? Well, that's the thing. I have friends that I love.
No, wait. I'm saying like, did that revelation because we're being so vulnerable to each other? I was like, is it working?
I just saw you fall in love. There's hearts.
I don't know. It's just something I've thought about lately, and I'm just kind of like, I really don't know. I'm in my 30s, and I'm not 100% sure that it's ever happened.
No,
you know?
But I don't know, it feels so much of like, as the more you learn about love, it just feels like it's really like you're just there as kind of like a sounding board for the other person to
you're
grow
the catcher's
mitt. Love.
Right.
So, but
right.
But that being said, aren't we all just doing that then?
Yes.
And then no one is really being loved, but we're all just learning how to love ourselves deeper.
Well, and also too, being in love is a selfish endeavor if you think about it, because you're really going after what that person makes you feel. And yes, it's mostly because of their essence, but it's like, if you didn't feel that way about them, that wouldn't keep you there.
My feeling about the whole thing, though, is that I don't know that I've ever felt picked. And I think that that has been something that I've
chosen,
been
right.
thinking about a lot lately.
Yeah.
Where it's like, because I've had a few things this year that I, as you guys know, that I have, that I was excited about, that I thought maybe could lead to something. Like one person specifically, who you guys are aware of. And there is an element of wondering, like, why Why is it always that I look at someone else's Instagram after I've gone out with them and like a few months later, they're with like some... I mean, Corinne, you go through this all the time, I feel like. You talk about this on the show where you're mm-hmm. just like, why is this person with this guy?
Because it's an easier choice. Like, I know the answer. It's easier. I'm difficult.
But I don't think I'm difficult. That's the thing.
You're too easy.
You think I'm too easy?
Maybe I don't know. I am too easy. Perhaps.
Maybe.
Perhaps. Well, I also said this to you, and it's the same thing with me and ghosts. You're too thirsty for it, so they're running away.
That could also be because it's a different dynamic, because you're a heterosexual man, I'm a heterosexual woman. So heterosexual men are looking for something easy that fits into their life, okay?
Yeah,
but,
right.
Which is not necessarily what you're looking for.
No, I'm looking for the
and
opposite,
women love
to
make things difficult for themselves. So yeah, I would agree with Christina's assessment of it, is that you're too willing, and that makes women think something's wrong with
right.
you.
So should I stop like going to therapy? And
no.
Like,
no, don't stop that.
That's the thought that I always have, where it's just sort of like you know, I'm in this conundrum where the type
it takes
of women,
longer when you're in working order, it takes longer to find someone. Even my therapist agreed with that.
Yeah
mm-hmm, it maybe. Does and yeah
because you're asking more, so like your qualifications for a partner get higher, your dating pool gets smaller.
Right
I guess that's true.
Yeah. And so I know exactly, because it's the same type of person that the people that I dump always date after. It's always someone really like that just goes along with whatever they do, change their whole words. Look at through the people, two of them literally moved states.
Yeah.
And I know that the move was because of the male in the relationship,
yep.
not because of the woman. So the two people did that. Mm. And then one person, one person just showers my ex with just like absolute adoration for everything that he does, even when it's bad.
Right.
Right.
And
they're like, wait, this feels better.
Right.
And I don't, and just like placates him and just follows him. Literally, the amount of times I just see this person just following him around silently.
Mm. I don't even know who my exes date after me, because after we break up, you're dead to me. So it doesn't matter.
I would love them sure. to be dead to me, but they all are comedians. So.
Yeah, right. That's true.
Oopsies. You know?
Oopsie poopsie.
And I had a pretty good track record. For two of your most important exes to leave the state, that's pretty good luck.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I can't really complain.
Yeah. Pussy to bomb.
Yeah.
So I mean, but I 100% understand what you mean. And like with as the like being picked thing, it's like that's... I don't know. I mean, I've definitely felt very picked. I actually don't date people if I don't feel picked.
Yeah.
That's good.
But my
theory is like, I'm fun to date. You're fun to date. You're probably fun to date.
I would say I'm constructive to date. Your life's going to get better. I don't know that you'll have a lot of fun. Your life will be significantly better though.
Well, I can't guarantee your life will be better, but I can guarantee you'll have way more fun.
Yeah.
And you'll get good sex.
And
I
that's,
mean,
hell yes, you will. But that's like, you know, that makes me go, yeah, I've never doubted, like, do they just want to be with somebody they want to be with? I guess I have. I don't know.
Well, I kind of
I'm just so fun to be around in terms of like in a dating scenario that for the most part.
Or even
time.
It's just like when you get told, because like I have been casually dating now for so long. That obviously you run into situations all the time where somebody's like, well, I'm kind of starting to see somebody and like it's getting more serious. So like I have to kind of see that through, which I completely understand.
Yeah.
And I've been there. But then you see the person and you're just kind of like, you got more excited about this person.
Right. But
me?
You don't know who they are. You know, but I understand that.
But
I
it's just like
the judging mind.
Even when you look at somebody, you're just like, he's
right.
wearing a vest.
Oh, yeah, wow. But for women's choices, you can't go off aesthetic because a lot of times that's not what we're choosing off.
If we're choosing partners based off of aesthetic, there would be no population.
But how, I'm going off on, when I say
I can't believe they stayed
baby.
Her, it's not necessarily like a looks thing. Like some of it is a little look sometimes, but no one's ever dated someone that I was like, oh, this girl's like gross. None of my ex's new partners are gross. They're all cute girls. The life that they see for themselves versus the life that I see for myself as far as how much.
Yeah.
How much they deserve as people. And even though I don't even like some of these women, some of them I like just fine, some of them I don't. But like, I just wish they would want
more
and
themselves.
But it's like, that's also me being... having like putting my wants on them, and that's also not fair, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe not everybody
has big goals.
Maybe they have exactly what they want, and maybe their goals, their big goals, are
in self or like things that I wouldn't be able to see on Instagram. So that's not fair of me. It's just like, but it's also like telling me it's like, oh, it's a different type of person that you wanted. But there is also this thing. It's like, oh, you wanted someone who's maybe their big goals are quieter, you know?
Right, and that to me
is like so fucking heterosexual, man. Yeah. Oh yeah, I want my partner to have big goals, but just quiet ones that don't overshadow me in
all
like
she does
real
is pour
life.
Candles.
So, you know?
Yeah.
Wait, what other questions are there? This is really interesting.
So
we are
opening up quite a bit.
Yeah.
I know. I do feel close to everyone.
My heart chakra is full force.
So the very last one is actually what we do on this show and probably why people feel so close to us, but it's to share a personal problem and ask your partner's advice on how he or she might handle it. Also ask your partner to reflect back to you how you seem to be feeling about the problem you have chosen. So that's interesting.
Oh, that's an interesting part of it. Reflecting back. Oh, that's very interesting.
Yeah, so reflect back to how you have seem to be feeling about the problem. Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, that's like more what we do on the show. The second to last question is, of all the people in your family, whose death would you find the most disturbing and why?
Oh, God. Are we kidding with that one?
Disturbing?
Ugh.
Yeah. For me, my brother. Disturbing.
Yeah, my brother, because he's like my best friend. And
Nicole,
I love him so much.
Wouldn't it be your nephew, though?
Oh, I guess so, because he's a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Sorry.
Shit.
I was like, actually, can I
get darker?
We can get darker.
Can I actually
what if your child nephew died?
Correct your answer. We just learned more about me.
Of course. When you say family, I just think my mom, my dad, and my brother. But yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, like some people, you know, for some people it really is like their grandmother or something. But I mean,
right, yeah.
I think for me, like just I was little, just because I am the older sister, like definitely for me, it's like my little brother.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be the most disturbing.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, that would be disturbing, I guess.
Yeah. Oh, and Nicole for me, obviously. My sister.
Yes.
That would horrify. I mean.
Not just your sister, your favorite.
No, come on.
Yeah. No, yeah.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait. Your house containing everything you own catches fire. After saving your loved ones and pets, you have time to safely make a final dash to save any one item. What would it be and why?
Oh, that one's good.
Ooh, that's a good question.
Oof, my God.
Oh, man.
My passport? Because I don't want to wait in line at the DMV. Hey. Jeez. I've developed a very specific relationship with my possessions in that I don't give up. Like, it's just a thing. You know, I would save, there's this one, a giant seashell. My parents actually got it for me for Christmas, and it has a picture of me and Brantley on it on the beach. And it's very delicate on a little frame. I would probably save that.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's, yeah.
For me, I think, does my dad's ashes count as a loved one?
No, it's a thing.
No, that's a thing.
So, his soul isn't in there.
My dad's ashes, number one. And then, like, number two would be, like, there's a blanket made out of my dad's shirts that's irreplaceable. Yeah. So that, and then, these are just, I know that they didn't say three. So dad's ashes, number one. But then, and then also there's, like, my great-grandmother's violin that was my violin.
Wow.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's
so
a really good one.
That's the violin I learned. I mean, that's not the violin I originally learned how to play on, but ultimately it's the violin that I played for most of my high school.
Yeah.
But it was special because my great-grandmother had played it, and then we got it refurbished, and then I played
that's
it.
Beautiful.
So that's very important to me. It's in a really, like, I don't know. I'm thinking, is the case that it's in fireproof? It's like a pretty high tech case, but I don't know if it's a fireproof case. So
what about you, Mike? Your Jimmy Choo cologne? Just kidding.
No, I mean, like, anything that I can replace, I'm not as freaked out about. If top of my head, I would say, so when I was 12 or 13, I went to a baseball academy for the Mets. And I won the MVP award.
Aww. Yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay. And, the trophy was a shirt. It was like a Mets Academy, like official shirt. And it was signed by like Mookie Wilson and all these like Mets that had like been at the camp. And I was, even at that time, I was shocked that I won it. And I still have it. I have it with me at fucking in my apartment. I need to hang it properly. It's just so embarrassing to have women
put that
come
in some
like,
museum glass.
Yeah, put it in museum glass. It'll actually look really beautiful.
But that's the first thing that comes to I sleep. It's next to my bed. I mean, it's in my.
He holds it. And he messes with it.
I've had it like in a plastic bag for most of my life, trying to preserve it. But that's the thing that comes to mind.
Because
I don't have any, I don't have
You're
any.
So You're so you. Weird. You're so you.
Oh, weirdo.
It's so special.
I don't think I have any like family heirlooms in my apartment or anything, which is probably for the best. But
yeah,
I think all that stuff is with my parents. Mm. So that's.
Yeah. I like this conversation because it makes you realize like stuff doesn't matter. It's the memories and the people that you are in your life that love you and that you love. That's what matters, guys.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
it's
know,
like your shirt gets burned up, you could buy a new shirt.
Yeah.
But you can't buy a new Mets MVP award.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah. So exactly. check those questions out, guys. I mean, I think it worked. But the thing is, yeah, like it also like could really disconnect you from someone if they're giving
good.
Very shallow answers. Or
absolutely.
Just, not even shallow, just answers that don't at all align with how you feel about the world. You know?
Yeah. For sure. For sure. That's a good litmus test. All right, guys, we're going to read a couple emails. We have time for a few. If you want to email us, the email address is sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. And if you haven't caught on yet, the episode today is just Corinne, me, and Mike. All right. Today,
just.
Yeah. I mean, come on. We're really bringing it today,
fully,
man.
Fully. Well, yeah. There's no.
Yeah, this is fun. Well, it spoils me because I'm like, listen, I love
it's really fun.
Speaking to our forever. Guests, but I mean, this is my favorite format.
Oh, yeah. It's so
and
much more
and
fun.
The listeners like it too. So yeah. You'll get more of it.
I like to show up about 5 to 10 minutes late with an egg and cheese croissant from Dunkin' Donuts and then really just slide into it. That's where I'm going to give my best, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
what I need to do.
Thank
great,
you.
Great radio.
Subject line, hilarious and traumatic Tinder date experience. Was he wearing a cock sleeve? Corinne and Christina, what the actual fuck did I just experience? I'm a 26-year-old female and enjoying the Tinder hookup thing safely for now. It's been fun. I've enjoyed several nice experiences, but tonight was one for the books. Matched with a guy. He was not bad looking for my taste. Attached photos at the end. Had a couple interactions on Tinder before moving it to Snapchat, where we talked for a couple days. FaceTimed and made plans. Love that you FaceTimed it before you made plans, because I think that'll really, you know, solidify it, although it doesn't sound like this ended well. So we meet up.
It does not.
Have a couple drinks and go back to my place. We're hanging out, watching a horror movie, and we start getting close and everything. His dick imprint has been obvious in his pants, and he made several comments about how big his dick was. That's a little odd.
Works every time.
No, it doesn't. I was for sure intrigued. We're making out. Everything is nice and getting hot and heavy. He's doing all the right things, touching my body everywhere, kissing my neck, groping me, making noises of pleasure, not in an excessive amount way. Like, it was great. He starts to poke my clit. Poke? Poke your clit? Uh-oh.
Like this? Like with your finger?
Like, excuse me. Oh. He starts to poke my clit and move it around like it's a gear shifter in a 94 Ford truck.
Oh, okay.
That's not good.
Oh, okay.
I placed my hand on top of his to relieve the painful pressure and slow him down and kind of teach him how to move the clit.
This reeks also of a guy with a big dick, because they a lot of times, Mike, don't know how to fucking do other shit because they've leaned on their big dick for so long.
Don't bring me into
fellas,
this.
Fellas.
I was just making sure.
If you don't know
I've never
how
had
to,
sex with you, I don't know.
Gentlemen, if you have sex with women and you don't know how to use your fingers, at least for me, the fingers, go back to school. Okay, I placed my hand on top of his to relieve the pain and pressure, to slow him down, to kind of teach him how to move the clit. He took instruction well. It wasn't awkward or anything. So he starts to go down on me. I don't know if he lost the clit and couldn't find it again. It's not that. Why are we losing? You don't lose the clit. It doesn't go back up into the body. But it wasn't the worst, but it wasn't good either. Oh, almost forgot. He put his mouth to my vaginal opening and blew on it.
Stop.
Like he was blowing up a balloon.
Stop.
And then sucked the air back out, making me queef on his face.
Hot.
What? What the fuck? None. Are you in Ohio? What's happening? None of which was great, but I was still turned on from the hot makeout sesh we just had. Yeah, because that sucks when he's so good at making out and you're like, oh, I'm ready, I'm so wet, and then he fucking blows into your vagina like it's a balloon.
Oh my God.
I mean, where am I?
It's not what you want.
So I pull his face back up to mine, thinking we could just hump and make out for a little bit before fucking, but nope. This man starts kissing me and shoves a thick silicone penis inside of me. What?
So like a fake dildo?
I started to say something, but I stopped myself because it kind of felt good. Oh, shit. <No. laughs> But I was laughing at myself for falling for the dick imprint from his pants earlier. So wait, did he remove this dildo from his pants and stick it in you?
So he had a fake dick in his pants? Wait. That's psychotic.
Yeah, that is pretty insane.
That would scare me. That would terrify me.
What's in his other pocket? A knife?
That would terrify me.
Okay, wait.
That's like if someone left and came back in a clown suit.
That is, oh my God.
That's terrifying.
About 3 minutes go by and I just start feeling super uneasy, like I had been lied to. I mean, and I just kind of squeezed my vaginal muscles so it would fall out, which it did. So wait, now he's just not holding on to the silicone dick? He just sticks it in you and then stops? This is so confusing. It took the dude some time before he noticed.
Yeah, because it wasn't his dick.
You're right.
Right, because it wasn't attached to his body. I looked at him and said, I need to stop this. This is making me feel weird. He asked me why. Oh, God. And I explained to him that I didn't mind using toys or cock sleeves or dildos if we talked about it first. Y'all, when I tell you, this man looked at me dead in the face and said, do you mean the condom? I said, no, the cock sleeve, the fake dick. I just feel really weird that you lied to me. He started gaslighting me and telling me I was crazy for thinking his condom was a cock sleeve.
What's a cock sleeve?
I don't know.
It's something you put over your dick to make your dick bigger.
I've never heard of it.
Well, I think a cock sleeve also is describing, some companies call that a sex toy for men, like a fleshlight. I was like, look, I had a great time with you before this got weird. We can talk about it and continue having fun. If you have a small dick or a medical issue or something, we can talk about it, but I really feel weird being lied to.
It's like a penis extender.
That's too big to fit in a fucking... First of all, that guy
that looks like a
dick.
Pig in a blanket.
Yeah.
Doesn't it?
Okay. Because
cock sleeve goes over your dick and makes it bigger.
Yeah, I actually just didn't even know this was a thing.
That's silicone?
Silicone, yeah, I guess so.
I've never seen that before either.
Okay, so wait. We could talk about it, but I feel really weird being lied to, especially when I could see and feel a silicone penis. Mm. He continued on with his condom story. I put the condom on in the bathroom. Looking back, he was in the bathroom a long time. But I just thought he was jerking off one to last longer with me, to be honest.
Yeah, it's just like me expecting a surprise party everywhere I go.
That's so funny.
Dang how life works.
He said, we can do it raw. I didn't know that it wasn't okay to wear a condom. Oh my God, this guy sucks. We had previously discussed the STD, birth control, my latex allergy, and my preferred brand of condom with just skin, and I do always have condoms. He had spent a lot of time when we were texting bragging about his enormous dick, so I wanted him to know about my allergies and my preferences in case he needed a special size. Anyways, yeah, this is all so safe planning. Anyways, he wouldn't admit up to it. I'd just be like, can you just give me take your dick out now. What's happening? He wouldn't admit to it and kept making me feel crazy. So I said, I think it's time for you to go. Let me walk you out. And that's what I did. The Ring footage from him walking out is honestly hilarious. Oh, from her doorbell. I guess his huge fake dick was uncomfortable for him too. He drove 3 minutes down the road before texting me and apologizing. I gave him another chance and he still stayed with the condom story. I told him I feel really weird and violated. I don't feel like bad about it, honestly. It just keeps making me laugh. Just another ick to add to the men collection. Anyway, ladies, I'm traumatized and probably staying off of Tinder for a while. What a hilarious thing to happen, though. I've never experienced or heard anything like this. Yeah. So if you have, please share. Also, I never would have had the courage to stand up for myself and stop a sexual interaction that I was no longer enjoying if it weren't for you, ladies. I appreciate you a lot.
Well done.
I hope this was funny to y'all as it was to me. Yes? Oh, girl. Girl, what? That's crazy. I mean... To the boy, what is my question?
I've never heard of this, but now I'm like, oh, this is actually like a great invention.
Not a single man that I have ever talked to knows what that is.
No, it makes you get big.
No one would admit this to their male friend that they're using a cock extender.
No,
that's not locker room talk.
I don't know. I think that I've talked to other men about like things like that.
Yeah,
fascinating.
But I don't think that this is like a common thing at all.
The wheels in my head are turning. I'm like, how many men would have been okay to date had I had a cock extender at the time? Really going back through the Rolodex.
That is a crazy story. And I would not, when I'm curious about something or if I got to know, you ain't leaving. okay? Yeah. You're not leaving my home. Give me the fucking sleeve because there's no way. There's no... I mean, it is a little scary that he like is lying when it's so obvious, which makes me go, what are you capable of? Because obviously this is their first date.
I guess he's just, he probably just actually has a really small dick and was self-conscious about it. That's why he was saying, because also he was like, talk, like, I mean, Mike, you don't like talk about how huge your dick is to, all the time to guys,
to women.
To women or
to women. Okay, so maybe you want to
never
mind
all the time.
Maybe that's why you haven't found love yet.
Yeah, maybe.
I would. Yeah, I mean, like if it's I think the cock speaks for itself is a good like mantra to live by. So like you can mention it once or twice, but then other than that, you don't need to.
And also, just as a PSA,
surprise. It's more fun if you just surprise
just
them.
Just a PSA to men listening to this: if you're a man and you have a tiny penis, that is workable, my friends. And I'm not just talking about a cock sleeve. I'm saying, get your tongue game right. Get your finger game right and have a good sense of humor about it. That is super sexy and we're not going to give a shit.
It's workable, but you really got to up it in the other departments.
Exactly.
Yeah. We're going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know.
All right.
Okay. So this
we have time for like one more basically, right?
Yeah. Well, how long do you want to go? We're over an hour.
Like hour 15?
Yeah. Because this is just this. So it should be longer than a bonus episode.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
All right. A very Fishtown V-Day. Oh, this is about Philly. That's why your thing.
Oh.
Is here.
Read it? Okay.
Go Birds.
Philly. But wait, it's called a very Fishtown V-Day. I screamed at the moon and broke his hand.
God, is this me? Philly, 10 years ago, senior year at my art school, my boyfriend of 3 years and I went out for margs and another couple when I took a cute pic of them and went to post it on Facebook. My boyfriend had been using my phone and was logged into his Facebook still, and my toxic curiosity went right to his inbox, right at the table. I saw a long message with an old female friend and immediately went white with rage. I was young, dumb, insecure, and completely jealous of this talented performance artist/dancer/actress friend, okay, that he was messaging with. I got way too drunk, and after drinks, as we drove home, it all spills out as I tried multiple times to dramatically get out of the car screaming, oh girl, this sounds like something I would do. When we finally parked and walked home from the street, we passed a church on the corner with a cemetery which had one of those fences, half stoned topped off with iron spikes. I jumped up on the stone part, grabbed the iron, and let out the most visceral scream I could at the full moon. It felt like a demon inside me. I jumped down, and as he tried to calm me, I wouldn't stop wailing at him with my fists and aimed for his face.
Whoa.
Violence ain't the answer, y'all. He blocked my punch, and yep, I broke his hand.
What?
Whoa! Girl, you strong. Hell hath no fury, baby. He was so pissed, he headbutted me. Oh, shit. And for the next month, I had a huge welt on my forehead that followed me into my senior painting show to which my entire family came. He and I broke up, but still lived together till the semester ended due to logistics. And it was such a rough time, the absolute lowest point in my life. Shortly after, I lost my phone biking home from a bar after falling on trolley tracks. Girl, you gotta stop drinking. And whoever found it sent an amazing picture of boyfriend's dick to everybody on my contacts list, including the elegant old fibers artist I was interning for at the time. time. Karma's a bitch. Though the rest of the year, everyone at our art school kept commending him slash me on his dick, and he became even more popular and loved. LOL, epilogue. He and I are still extremely close friends. And external spirit studio mates, both painters. The female friend he was messaging is a complete badass, and I can't believe I ever held her in competition. I have zero violent urges anymore. That's good. And now channel my energy through constructive physical contact like jujitsu. Yes, girl, look at you learning and growing. And it took me 10 years to work through my jealousy, including getting married and divorced to someone else. Someone who showed me what jealousy felt like from the other side. Ooh. Love you, ladies. My friend from the BJJ Academy introduced me to the podcast when I was contemplating divorce, specifically the breakup episode. That was the breakup episode heard around the world. And you two were guiding lights for me during the several lonely months after I moved out. I saw you on New Year's Eve and came up to Christina and her bro and nephew after the show. But the most important thing to communicate seemed to be that she and her nephew need to go on tour in an old circus caravan and pop out and do shows and jump back in. That's nice. That's nice. Oh, then this is a subject line for you.
All right. My brother is a convicted pedophile. Thanks for thinking of me. all right. So this says pre-ramble about how much you guys mean to me. So I'll just go to their regular email. But thank you. Hi, Corinne and Christina. Yes, as the title suggests, my brother is a convicted pedophile.
Cute.
For context, the bulk of his actions happened over Instagram DM. He pretended to be a 13-year-old girl and would ask little boys for dick pics.
Ugh. Oh, no. Oh, no.
Okay. I'm a huge fan of sending nudes, but this is your friendly reminder to only send to those you trust. Yeah. Also, any parents listening, it sucks, but you really have got to tell your kids about the monsters that lurk on the web.
13-year-olds got Instagram?
Oh, yeah.
That 8-year-olds have Instagram.
But yeah. They run their own accounts?
13, yeah.
Holy definitely. Shit, y'all.
13 is like people are fucking, yeah.
Oh, fuck, dude.
There was also some sneaky picture taking at urinals. Okay, wow. He is on the, so he is on the autism spectrum, simply adding for context. While being in prison, he came out as gay. I think this was quite hard for him since we were brought up in the church. And I will always wonder if he wouldn't have turned to little boys if he had felt accepted. Well, I don't think that's.
I wonder if he was molested.
Yeah, I don't know that pedophilia is a choice.
I don't think it is.
His sentence ends later this year. We were never particularly close, not in a negative way, but I mean, it's like a choice to act on it, but I don't think like the want like be attracted to children.
Right.
But after he was locked up, I refused to visit him. I used to email him monthly. I think I felt pressured from my family to be nice to him, but then I gave up on that. I'm actually surprised your family was like so pro him.
Yeah. It's their son,
but
you know,
but usually like kid stuff is like a deal breaker for anyone across the board. It's even a deal breaker in comedy clubs for jokes, you know?
Yeah.
When he was sent to prison, I was going through a big breakup. I went traveling before landing a job abroad. In the 4 years since, I've never been back to England for more than a few months at a time. I'll think I'll end up in England long term eventually. I tell people I'm enjoying the excitement of being mortgage free, partner free, and child free, but I know I'm actually just avoiding the constant drama at home. My question is, am I in the right to cause additional family drama over this? My whole family have been there for him and are doing everything to get to help him get better and move forward. His sentence ends later this year. I have no desire to see him again, but once he's released, he'll be around. Which do you feel is worse? Actively avoid him and upset my family, or put up with bumping into him? I think I'll attempt the latter, but I'm curious to hear your thoughts. Much love, anonymous and forever grateful fucker.
I say, honesty. You're going to bump into him at some point. He's your brother, right? Like after he gets out of jail. And just say, I mean, what's the harm in saying, I got to be honest, bro, I don't feel uncomfortable around you and I don't want to speak with you. And so I just want to let you know that that's how I'm feeling. And I don't know if that'll ever change, but that's where I'm at.
Yeah, this like the sense of like causing additional family drama. Like, I don't think not speaking to a family member necessarily has to be dramatic. Like, so if it is becoming dramatic, then it's also part the other part of your family that is making it dramatic.
Right, because what's really dramatic is him being a pedophile.
Yeah.
You know, so you not speaking to him because of that is not dramatic.
Yeah, like I don't think this is like a crazy stance. My brother's a pedophile and I don't want to have tea with him.
Yeah, like, okay, that's very fair of you to feel that way. And it's very fair of you to act on that. But just be honest with him and be honest with your family members and say, look, if you guys want to be in his life and continue that, that's amazing. He's lucky to have you. I'm not interested in that.
I'm not interested in that, but and I do this with love, but I don't want to see him, okay? So can you do me a favor? If he's over and I'm coming over, you just give me a heads up and I'll come over another day.
Yeah, because like, you know, outside of like Christmas, you're an adult woman. If you don't actively choose to see your brother, how often would one see their brother? Like,
right.
I mean, I guess like does he have to come home and live with your parents afterwards? I'm guessing, you know, perhaps because of all the sex offender variables, list, the fucking, you know, he's autistic. He just got out of prison. He's a sex offender. You know, even so, but I mean, like there's ways around this because I just don't know without planning how often a sibling would have to see their other sibling if they didn't want to. It seems like not a huge necessity.
Right.
But yeah, your family is also being dramatic about it.
Yes. And just because you're blood related doesn't mean they have to be in your life.
Yeah. And it's like sometimes like the sibling that causes the most noise gets the most attention. So like you were like,
he did that.
You were like technically like the better child, and but then you're getting punished.
Yeah.
You know, that happens so often. I see that, like, you know, the squeaky wheel gets the oil or whatever the hell the grease, saying is. Yeah. Yeah. And that's not fair. And I think if you could bring it up in, you know, an even keeled kind of way to your family, maybe they would listen to that. But you don't have to be friends with your pedophile brother. Unnecessary.
Next subject line. Help, I'm so sensitive, I come multiple times a day and I don't
Jesus
want to.
Fucking Christ.
Question for the podcast.
We all feel so
I'm
bad
so
for you.
I'm so sorry for your loss. Hi, Corinne and Christina, longtime fucker. Don't say my name. I'm writing because I haven't heard anyone else have this problem, and it makes me feel like a total freak and not in a good
way. Yeah, because no one's ever complained about it before.
That's true. I had to learn to masturbate young.
You had to?
Uh-oh.
Guys, send me out into the world, and I gotta go. I gotta learn this masturbation game all on my own.
You gotta come. What do we do? I had to learn to masturbate young by rubbing on things, which I know is common. Well, it is if you're me. However, as an adult, I have pretty severe sensitivity to wearing pants.
This sounds like something like a guy would say, but just to be weird.
Cum is
you.
Good for your face.
Be like, yeah, honestly, something about me. I'm just like pretty sensitive to pants, so I can't be in pants.
It's too big. I don't know what we do. God, Levi's. Leggings or sweatpants don't bother me, but as soon as I have a trouser or work pants or jeans that aren't stretchy, I get turned on. Okay, I see what you're saying.
They could be looser.
It's the yeah. It's frustrating to have to plan into my day being turned up. Well, just come before you put the pants on. Well, if you come multiple times.
Okay. Yeah, or just like don't have you. There's pants that don't have to ride up against your crotch, like wide leg or like boyfriend style jeans.
As soon as I have a trouser or work pants or jeans that aren't stretchy, I get turned on. It is frustrating to have to plan my day into being turned on or try to avoid it. Masturbating in my car or on my way to work.
Can you imagine someone in Ukraine reading this under the rubble? Turkey under the rubble. They're just like, their whole family was just taken out by an earthquake. And you're like, but this woman in the U.S.
because of my pants.
She can't wear tight jeans. Otherwise, she can't stop coming.
I hope she gets help.
What a tragedy.
I hope she gets help. Just a Syrian refugee crying, trying to cross the border. We have women here who can't wear pants.
The jeans make them come. And they just come multiple times a day. They got to jerk off in their car. That's why they have a car.
Everybody still wants to come to America. Because of this.
I'm so sensitive that I can do this 30 seconds or less by just putting my hips against my pants. I don't like it. It's not fun. I wish I wasn't so sensitive. For reference, I will come between five.
This is hard for me to read.
Oh my God. I will come between 5 and 12 times during sex with a partner, which is cool in the moment, but not for the rest of my life.
This is like a freak 2020
I wish
interview.
If we had like more technical capability, I would want a violin playing right now. I've tried a lot of different pants. A few work out for me to
Is this a joke?
No. A few work out for me to feel less restricted and turned on, but I don't feel... I mean, she's writing into a sex podcast. This is a sex podcast question. I got to be honest.
But even the way...
It's just not, you know, I don't feel sorry for you, but it's a problem that you're going through.
But even the way it's written, it feels like I'm being pranked.
It does. You're not. a few work for me to feel less restricted and turned on, but I don't feel like a normal person because of this.
Like, that's a funny sentence to write.
Yeah. I don't know if it's related, but I get the same feeling of being held down during sex from the restrictive nature of my pants.
So now your pants feel like a boyfriend? Fucking
like
psycho.
Where it's tight on the thighs from sitting down feels like being held down. And maybe this is where it stems from.
I think just you need a bigger size of pants.
Yeah, I think your pants are too tight.
This is an easy solution, my friend.
I'm not a stylist,
your
but
sweatpants don't make you come and jeans do. So we're going to get bigger jeans. Okay. Or did I acquire that kink because of the sensitivity? I don't know. Wondering if you've ever heard of this. Nope. Or talk to a doctor, a professional, something in the in line with this. Nope. I don't feel pain at all. Right. Because you're just coming all day. That's the only problem I find online related to this. Any suggestions beyond wearing leggings every day? Thanks so much. If you get to read this on the podcast.
Okay. Well, I Googled woman can't stop coming, and then that just led to porn.
Elephant tube.
Wait.
Cock horse.
What if I go medical after that?
No. It's going to be a porn star in stirrups.
Okay. Wait. Thanks to Vice. A hellish medical condition is causing women to orgasm uncontrollably from 2021.
Vice. Hellish?
Mm-hmm.
Is it hellish to your priest? That's the only person going to be hellish to.
It's so Vice.
The women, they won't stop coming.
It starts last August after 8 months away from her family.
Jesus Christ.
Nora headed home to Calgary from Halifax on what ended up being one of the most torturous flights of her life.
Oh my God.
Dressed in gray sweats and a tie-dye hoodie.
Stop.
Nora clenched her pelvis and concentrated on breathing as her body worked its way through orgasm after orgasm, about one every 5 minutes for the duration of the six-hour trip.
In the arms of an angel.
She would get up to use the bathroom in half-hour intervals when she could no longer hold back a more intense climax. It was rather painful trying to not have big ones, trying not to move or alert the people sitting next to me, said Nora, 20, a Dalhousie University student who does not want her real name used due to privacy concerns. When she got back to her family home where her dad, stepmother, two stepsisters and two sisters live, she had to spend the first week mostly alone in her bedroom as her orgasms persist. Okay, so wait, where do we get to this? Caroline Puckle, a clinical psychologist who researches sexual health and dysfunction, said while few people, including within the medical profession, know about PGAD, persistent genital arousal disorder.
Is that what every man has?
It affects about 1% of the population.
Of women.
Puckle said it's a difficult condition to determine. It's often confused with hypersexuality, and a diagnosis is usually made only when other conditions are ruled out. Symptoms can be present all the time or may come and go in flare-ups, she said, triggered by things like vibrations from a car ride or sexual imagery.
Ooh.
She said of the people who report having PGAD, 1/3 experience spontaneous orgasms and half describe their symptoms as painful.
Okay, the pain, that sucks.
Puckle said the condition can be debilitating, and often doctors seeing patients aren't asking the right questions, which can be additionally frustrating for people experiencing PGAD.
Mm.
They may tell you you're lucky, Puckle said. Sorry, guilty.
oops, jeez.
Well, they would be correct. In reality,
minus the pain.
In reality, people experiencing PGAD have higher rates of depression and anxiety, as well as suicidal ideation.
Oh God,
she said, because they feel hopeless in the absence of effective treatments.
Jeez. Okay. I mean, that's, you can't argue with that. That's terrible. That sucks.
So, I mean, just I don't know if you've looked into them. Yeah. And so there's a doctor in here said for people experiencing this, these symptoms, she actually recommends seeing a neurologist.
Yeah, that makes sense. A neurologist or a urologist?
No, a neurologist.
Oh, okay.
A neurologist, because there's a study done in 2020 that found that the condition can be caused by misfiring nerves carrying sensations from the genitalia or possibly spinal cord damage.
Ooh,
The patients nor the doctors are talking about neurology, and she said, I'm really trying to raise awareness from that.
Okay.
Out of the 10 women in the study who ranged in age from 11 to 70, nerve damage affecting the ends or tops of the nerves was the most common cause.
Interesting.
One woman had it from discontinuing a drug, which could also be a potential catalyst for symptoms.
Wow.
Specifically when people stop using SSRIs. Okay. And then once a neurologist is able to determine a cause, doctors can start trying to solve the problem, potentially with drugs or other medical interventions. But even when there's no obvious treatment, she said, just hearing a doctor lay out the cause of the problem is so helpful to people that they cry with relief. So hopefully that gave you like a little bit of information that you could go to a doctor with. But yeah, it seems like you do need to actually see a doctor about that, because
at least you could wear leggings.
Yeah.
But they, yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
And if anybody's listening and they've experienced this, write us. Sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. That sucks.
Yo, if the problem, there's a problem, we'll solve it.
Yeah, by asking other people if they experience the same problem.
Listen, we got a little further than she came.
Absolutely.
To us. I didn't even do that on purpose.
The only thing that I had ever heard that was similar to this, it was when women have orgasms at the gym.
Yeah. Well, you
is that common?
Okay. So you can have orgasms if your like vagina is up against a certain part of the machine, or you can do it when you're doing the ab thing where your legs are dangling in the air and you put your knees up to your chest. I had a girlfriend tell me once that she came when she did that, and then I went to the gym and did that for like a long time. And one time I did come.
Really?
Yeah. It took me a while. I had great abs that year. Great abs.
Yeah.
There's only a lot of times that I'm getting
trying and trying, but I've never just like come out of nowhere, but I've definitely like get horny like from things rubbing against me.
I was dating a woman once who told me like texted me in the morning. She's like, I just went to one of my classes and some girl had like a full-blown like loud orgasm in the class, and she was like next to her.
What?
It was, yeah, yeah, yep.
See, that's to me.
Ab workouts make me horny though, because they're put pressing up against the right place. I guess I don't know.
That's like so sexual funny. Assault, like that. Like, that's like extremely inappropriate. You have to stop what you're doing.
Like if
stop
you're in a public coming. Place and you feel like you're gonna come, you have to leave that place.
Don't come in my Zumba class, that's bitch.
That's psychotic.
It was like one of those classes. I guess it was like a Pilates where you do the planks and you do those machines.
Yeah, excuse yourself.
The woman had like a
if you had
to
pee,
orgasm.
You wouldn't pee on the floor. You'd go
that's
to the bathroom.
Good, great point.
That's like a sex offender move.
It's
if you're
so
a guy,
I could.
And it
I was
should
like,
be if you're a girl too.
I was like, you're fucking with me, right? This is the next generation. No, and this happens all the time. The women are just like
all
coming.
The time.
I was according to her, but I don't know.
You
maybe
did some
it's
weirdos.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Guys, did you have fun?
We did. I had a lot of fun.
Well, I hope you had a great Valentine's Day, or as my therapist refers to it, my busiest week of the year.
Oh.
Because I go, oh, I don't need to see you next week. And then she goes, oh, good. It's my busiest week of the year. And I go, really? Not like Christmas or New Year's? She goes, no. She goes, like Valentine's Day week. And I was like, well, what is it? And she was like, it's mostly like people whose expectations weren't met. That's what she said to me.
Mm. Oh, that's weird.
She
that
said,
sucks.
Why weren't their expectations? She said that's the most.
Maybe they expected, you know, to be treated with decency and then didn't.
She said that's the most common. Because I was like, oh, yeah.
And
I was like, oh, interesting. Like, just me and my wheels start turning. I was like, oh, interesting.
Well, and then you have to face the fact of, do I ask too much out of the people in my lives? Or, you know, am I relying on somebody else to give me what I need? Although, it was, you know, it's a nice little gift. You give that to yourself, it's kind of lackluster. But when a partner gives it to you, it's a little bit nicer.
Well, because
it doesn't got to be expensive.
I thought she was going to say it was like for single people who don't have a Valentine. And she's like, no, actually, it's mostly people in relationships. Yeah.
Wow. It made me feel better
as far as like, oh, because like, you know,
it wasn't just sad women.
Nothing but bugs me more than just like people who are like, well, I don't have a Valentine for Valentine's Day. I hate
Go
that
hang out with
energy.
Your friends. Valentine's Day is honestly one of my favorite holidays.
Or just treat it like a regular day.
Yeah, you could do that. But also, it's celebrating love, not necessarily romantic love. Get off of that way of thinking. It's a love for your friends, love for your pet, like love for yourself. Like love is the best thing on this planet. Fucking celebrate it.
Oh, I love when the candy comes out. I mean, a month ago, I went to Duane Reade and I got a heart box of Whitman's chocolates for myself. I was
Whitman.
Like, my favorite time of the year. Woo! Party time. It was great. They introduced a new chocolate with peanut butter in it.
I love that because they were lacking the peanut butter. They had a lot of caramels and a lot of crunchy shit.
They said they introduced a new one.
It was
really good, too.
Mm. Guys, thanks for being here. And hey, if you enjoy listening to Guys We Fucked, you could do us a solid that takes 2 seconds out of your day and go to the Apple Podcast app and rate and review Guys We Fucked. Follow us, rate us, and review us. It keeps us in the top 200s in the comedy podcast charts, and we're not there, and that's bullshit because we are paving the way. So help us, help you help us, help the world. Yeah, and Toronto, see you tonight and tomorrow. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. I'm not gonna hit you up no more. Sorry, but I got much. Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares? Just okay, single on the throne, cause it's my time to fucking slay. Yeah, ooh, baby, I've been on my shit, ain't nothing new, nothing new. Messing with my head is fucking rude, fucking rude. If I need a man, it sure ain't you, sure ain't you. I'm crying, sleep inside my bones. We had a good run, but baby, I'm done. Think I might be better off alone. So would it be blunt? It's either shape up or break up. Keeping up with you is like a chore. Tell me, are we dating or am I a little whore? Boy, spend so many hours crying about you on my floor. Now I know I should be careful what I'm asking for. You and I should talk about it, babe. I'm not out the door, but you can bet I'm on the way. You don't have to call me, boy, I think I'll be okay. Dealing with myself has got me feeling some kind of way. Yeah. Ooh, baby, I've been on my shit, ain't nothing new.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.